All right. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good? Is it Mike a little hot or is it? Sounds good? All right. Praise God. I know it is. There's blankets in the back. The AC just cranking. I know sometimes it takes like a while. The school's like 2 weeks behind on adjusting the heat or sometimes the AC, right? And the other side of it, when it gets hot, we're like, hey, you need to turn on the AC. So it is what it is. I know. But there's blankets in the back. But welcome to Christ Community Church. I hope you had, you're already having a blessed morning. Right? I think glad to see. Yeah. See, she's like, I had a great time. Worship was awesome. I love it. I love to hear babies, right? It's good. It means the family's growing. But I hope you had a blessed week. Like I said, this week was a tough week for me. I literally was sick every single day, even including like Friday. Woke up a little bit flush, feverish a little bit, but just praying, God, get me healthy enough to get through the weekend so we can, you know, gather. I set it up there earlier. Thank you for all the folks that made it out to the family fun night, the blessed time. Really just was a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, and just a great time of fellowship. And so we're glad that you're here. We're in week three of a series called I Love My Church. I Love My Church. And so you see a few folks wearing their shirts today. I love that. And the other thing too is, as you're going about, you know, we're as we get closer to it, there's going to be a towards the end. I'm going to ask everybody to wear them on Sunday. The other thing, as you're going out, you know, you're going to see the last sermon is about how do we share and what does it mean. And so we're very intentional to print out the shirts as a conversation piece about what does C3 mean and how can you invite people to share the good news of who Jesus is and what we're doing here at the church? Amen. But today we're talking about loving our church, serving. Loving our church by serving. Now, those of you that have kids, you already know, right? That one of the most challenging things that we have to do and one of the most things that will challenge our selfishness is what? Is to have children. Because it feels like you're always serving, right? Feels like it's nonstop. Feels like it's cooking, cleaning, and then when they get old enough, it's like I need a ride over here. Then you're a bus driver, or is it Uber now, a chauffeur? And so we love our children, though, right? And so we do that. We show our love because we do that. Not that we're serving them, but we got to take care of them, okay? But sometimes it does feel like, man, a little thank you would be nice. So kids in the room, is there any kids in the room? Children. No, this is where your parents chicken with your kids. Hey, you need to tell your parents, you need to say thank you, right, for all that we do, our parents. And at the same time, hey, it's a reciprocal street. We love you guys, you know, and don't hit me with a, well, I didn't tell you to have me. You heard that one? It's like, have you heard? No. Don't spare the child from the rod. Is that... That's a different... Wait, let's get back on track. But I've heard that. He's like, what? Did you just say that right now? Right, the belt's coming off. But no, we do it because we love our kids, right? We love our family. It's an act of service. It's an act of what we do. And so today we're going to be learning about how do we love the church by serving. So... I don't know about you guys, but like in the last 10 years, I don't know if you guys know, you guys go to movies a lot, some of you guys, a little bit, either that or you watch them on Netflix or HBO. It's been the season of what, if you know about it, if you talk about, it's a lot of superhero movies, right? For a while, there wasn't a whole lot of superhero movies, and it's just like all the superhero, Marvel, DC, Spider-Man, right? And one of the things that you'll notice as you go through and you watch that is usually the superheroes have what? They have a superpower, right? They have a superpower. And the other thing that you notice about a superhero and superpower is that they also have a need to do what? Do you have a superhero who just sits at home and does nothing? The superhero has superpower, right? Now, sometimes it's like through a spider or some kind of gamma ray or science experiment, whatever it is, right? They're born on another planet, but they have a superpower. But that would be a very boring movie, right? If they didn't do anything. What are they usually doing? They're saving. They're saving who? communities, people, right? Okay, who's the one that's always saving Gotham City? Batman, right? And Metropolis? Superman, right? I should have worn my I heard Jesus shirt. I see C3 and I should have done that. Next time. Okay, how about the city of Chicago, right? This is a newer one. You guys saw that. It's called the Avengers. Avengers, right? They saved New York and Chicago. I don't know if you guys know that. But anyway, they all have a superpower. Yeah. And they all did what with it? They served. They gave their life. I don't know if you watched it, if you guys watched the Avengers series, right? When Iron Man, what happened to Iron Man in that movie? He died. Oh, that was sad. That was like so sad to me. I'm like, seriously? Like, bring him back. Like, he's like one of the best characters there. But he gave himself up, you know, so that he could save, right, the whole team or whatever he was going to do. You guys remember that? Now, that's a movie. We, in reality, have a Savior, right, who really came down to save us from our sin, to save us. Every single person in here is in desperate need of a Savior, in need of saving, and we have Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, the cool thing that he does is he also invites us to be a part of his team. You know, team, the Dodgers just won yesterday, so like, yeah, I'm team Dodgers. Or there's some Giants fan in here too. Giants, any Giants fans in here? In the back, a few. Yeah, I know. There was early 2000s. So it was a little dynasty of the Giants, but now it's now it's moved on, right? God has left San Francisco. Now he's over LA. Although I don't know what happened with the Raiders. Like, he just never was. He just left them. Like, he's saying, like, I need them to repent. I need them to pray. Like, I need to see people of faith. He'll come back. But no, and so my point is this, right? Is that I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, the team that we're on. Jesus invites us to be a part of his team. And the thing about it is that he just doesn't say, hey, go out and do it. He equips us and he gives us, right? Every single person in here, whether you believe it or not, you have a superpower, all right? Look to the person to your right or to your left. Look at them right now and tell them, you have a superpower. You have a superpower. That's right. You have a superpower. That's right. I like that. See? But it's not the kind of thing that you think, right? I mean, I wish we could, like, run super fast. Okay, let's see. On this side of the, let me see here. If you had a, let me just say, I'm going to do this a lot. I don't know why. Let's park the car a little bit. This side of the room, if you had a superpower, what would it be? Anybody? Fly? Invisibility? That's a weird one. Invisibility? Okay. You'd be all sneaking around, scaring people. Like, okay, teleport? Super strength? All right. Anybody else on this side? To breathe underwater? You want to be a fish? All right, praise God. Okay, how about this side of the room? You could have a superpower, what would it be? Oh, transport through time. Somebody said flying in the back. Anybody else? Nobody else? Just two people? This is the creative side of the room, and this one's like teleporting, somebody said? Being super fast, yeah, right? Yeah, that's awesome. Those are all cool superpowers, right? And so here's the thing. You all have a superpower, but it's something else. It's a gift that's been given to you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, right? And so that's what we're going to learn about today. We're going to tie this in. And how do we love our church? By serving. And it's going to be by tapping into the superpower that God has given you by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So let's open our Bibles and let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then we're going to be reading there the first 11 verses. Let me know when you guys are there. Amen? All right. 2 Corinthians 12:1 says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To others, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Amen? Amen. So you have a superpower. Now, this is one section that lists a lot of the gifts of the Spirit, right? Now, this is, who's the author of 1 Corinthians? It's Paul, right? And he's writing to the church in Corinth. And there's a lot of struggles that are happening. If you guys remember, the first portion of the letter to the Corinthians was a kind of a good old finger wagging. And then he starts to correct them, because there's a lot of people who feel elevated and puffed up because they have gifts, certain gifts, particularly the one in speaking of tongues. And so you see that reference time and time again. Now here, what we learned, right, in the first week is that we all belong to one body. And today we're learning that the Spirit gives gifts to every single one, every single believer. That's going to be your first fill in the blank. That God gives every one of his followers at least one spiritual gift. That's the first fill in the blank. God gives every one of his followers at least one spiritual gift. And what you'll see there, what Paul references time and time again, is that who gives it? It's the Holy Spirit that gives it. It's not yourself. Don't be puffed up or proud about, like, oh, I can do this, or I'm a good teacher, or I have the gift of wisdom, or I have the gift of prophecy. It's not about you, right? Who's it about, Stephen? It's about Jesus. And so the first thing you're going to have to always be reminded yourself, listen, if God is gifting you with time, talents, abilities, whatever it is, it's not about you. Let me just say, and I shouldn't do this, but just listen, we're not that awesome, right? You know who's awesome? God is awesome, right? We live in a culture where it's like everything is about you. And you have your Instagram and your Facebook and everything and all this other stuff. But listen, it's about God and what he's given to us, man. So up on the screen, I'm going to have Stephen have a little slide that outlines a few of the gifts, right? So this is a little grid that I found. And the different section, we just read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. And so these are some of the gifts that are noted there, the gifts of wisdom, of knowledge, of distinguishing spirits, of faith, of healings, of miraculous power, of prophecy, of speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues. In the book of Ephesians, we also see a different list, right? The gifts of the Spirit of apostleship and being a prophecy again, of being an evangelist, of being a pastor and a teacher. In Romans, which we're going to read later, and the gift of service, the gift of encouragement, the gifts of giving, of leadership, of mercy, of helps, and of guidance. Those are all fruits of the Spirit. Isn't that awesome? Now, here's what you need to know. You have at least one of those, right? And God has maybe equipped you sometimes more than one. You might have a different series. And oftentimes you have different clusters that are related to each other. And so, you know, at our church, we have the spiritual gift assessment. But towards the end, we'll start talking about practically how do you discover what is the spiritual gift that God has given you? Because everyone has one. And it's not for you, it's for the kingdom. So we have to make sure that we align ourselves with what God wants us to do. Because a lot of time, the culture that we live in right now, I always say, listen, you've heard me say this before. It's a little, turn it down just a hair, Stephen. We live in a culture where we like to idolize people. You know what I mean? Like, who's one of the ones that I talk, I'm not going to say, they told me, don't ever say it like that again when I talk about Taylor Swift. I'm just going to say showgirl. I put too much flair on it last time, and my wife is like, that's too much flair. You got to take it back. Okay, tone it down. But you would say, like, man, there's a lot of people who would idolize, like, Taylor Swift, yeah? Who else is another person that's very popular today? Who? Anybody? Okay, LeBron James, we're athletes, right? LeBron, who else? Anybody? Dak Prescott? Maybe that guy over there. Yeah, okay, yeah, it could be different things, right? Because I would say, listen, we are made for, we're made for worship. We are. And oftentimes we will be watching and we'll be seeing. It's like, oh, I love that person, or I can't. It's their new CD, their new album. You know, there's another person that's very popular in the culture. Her name is, she got famous by putting a ring on the finger. And she would go, I'm not going to do it because my wife's going to get me mad. She says, if you like it, then you should have put a ring on it, right? That's Beyonce. Most of you guys know that song. Some of you guys. But she's talented. But did you guys see that was a gift of the Spirit? She's talented. She's famous, right? But is that something that she's using to build up the church? Is that something that she's edifying the body? No, right? She's using it. It's entertainment. And she's also using it for what? For her own personal gain. Yes? That's different. So we got to be very mindful of what we how we differentiate, right? What is, it certainly is still a God-given talent, but it's not edifying the body. And that's how we discern the difference. Now, for example, up here, I'll tell you guys my own. I have, you guys know, not just because of it. Like for me, teaching has always been one of my gifts, I'll be quite honest with you, right? I'm not like the best teacher, but when I'm teaching what God wants me to do, it's through the Holy Spirit. I say, Holy Spirit, and this is one of the things, you guys need to know this. When I'm over here on the side, you guys probably want to know, like, what's he doing back there? You'd be like, there's like a little, there's not like a holy of holies back there. I'm not taking a nap. I should. I'm not taking naps. I'm like, shh, getting calm. No. I'm actually, oftentimes, you're going to hear me say this over and over again. Before I get up to preach, you're going to hear me say this. So hear me pray, and I'll remind myself, and I'll say this to myself. I'll be honest with you. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Help me to reach and say what you want me to say. And that's constantly one of the things. It's a reminder that I've gotten from one of an old school pastor that used to preach without a microphone. And he used to actually walk up a flight of stairs, 30 different steps. And every step he would say, I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the power. Why? To empty ourselves of anything that has to do with my pride or my ego. And let it all be about God. Amen? So when we align ourselves with the Holy Spirit and the gift that he has given us, you can do some pretty awesome things. Like, who in here thinks that they're pretty strong? It's okay. My brother, all right. Anybody else? Or Zeke? Okay, come on up. We're going to have arm wrestling. No, we're not going to do that. It's about to go down. No. But let's say, for example, right, let's say, okay, my brother comes up, Zeke comes up, and then I bring up Mike Tyson. You guys remember Mike Tyson? He's kind of out there now. But in his prime, he was a very bad guy, right? In terms of, he had bad intentions is what you called him when you saw him boxing. And he was known for what? For knocking people out, like one punch. So let's say, I'm just being honest. Let's say I have my brother, Mike Tyson, or Zeke, and Mike Tyson up here. Who would think would win that in a fight? Zeke says that he would take him down. He's going to fight dirty. My brother's like, Zeke can have him. I'm good. I'm going to turn the other way. There's a lot of power in what he would do, yeah? But that's just physical. What we're saying today is that God has equipped every single one of us with a gift and a talent and ability. That when using that ability backed by the Holy Spirit is when you have real power. See, what they're doing here, like I said, Mike Tyson, or whether it's an athlete or an artist, they're doing that, and that's human stuff. We're talking about having victory over the supernatural things. We're talking about bringing dead people to life through the power of his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because our battles are not against flesh and bone. They're against what? Principalities of darkness, right? And so what are we fighting against? Oftentimes, you got to be very mindful of this. And I'm just going to, I know I'm going to park the car a little bit. Very often times, right, and I see this happen time and time again when I meet with people and it's like I'm having this conflict or I'm doing this, I would say, listen, the person that you're having that conflict with is the person that you claim to love the most. And so you need to be very mindful that what Paul says, right, and he's saying in Ephesians chapter 6 is true. You're not fighting against that person. Who are you really fighting against? You're fighting against the darkness, right? You're fighting against the enemy. And so you got to be very mindful of the tactics that he uses. That's right. Now, that doesn't give you permission, husbands and wives, to rebuke that person, right? The way that my son one time, this is a true story, his second grade teacher, he was having a conflict, and she was always on him, first grade teacher. She was always on him, being really, Ethan has, he's on the spectrum. She was very rigid, very hard. One day, Ethan got up in the classroom, and he says, "Get behind me, Satan," to the teacher. They called me. They're like, "Hey, you got to come in." Ethan just rebuked her, called the teacher Satan. I said, well, he wasn't that far off. She acts like it. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, it's a battle of, that actually did happen. Principal calls me and he's like, "I don't know, I got to tell you this story." I've never had that happen. He rebuked her. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." I love it. I love it. I said, yeah, she's probably, if you met her, you would say, I'll tell you who it is later. That did happen. We're in a spiritual battle. But when we align ourselves with our gifts, talents, and abilities, God wants us to use us to what? To build up his kingdom. To serve. And you've been given a superpower. Amen. The thing about it is that, you know, the Spirit, he gives it. Now, I know some of you guys are up there and you guys are, if you had a gift that you could, if let's just say now, pop quiz again, this side of the room, if you had a spiritual gift that you can pick, which one would it be? Anybody? Brother Ken, which one would you select? Mercy. That's a good one. So you don't have it right now? Not very merciful? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, how about you, Valeria? Faith, yeah. How about in the back table? Which one would you pick? Which one would you pick? Tony or Irene? You serve? He said serve. He's like, not me. I don't want that gift. Faith. All right. How about this side of the room? If you could pick, which one would you pick? Healing. Yeah, that's a good one. Wisdom. Awesome. Encouragement. Nico, which one would you pick? Healing. Awesome. Brother in the back? Evangelist. Yeah, amen, amen. How about Michelle in the back over there? Healing. There's a lot of healing over here. Right? Okay. Which one do you pick? What is it? Speaking in tongues, yeah. Those are all important. But here's what the one thing that I'm telling you. Not everybody's going to, you're not going to, if you have that gift and you selected the one that you have, man, praise God. But the other thing is like God has given and equipped us because we're all part of the same body. He's calling us to be what? Because if somebody has something that you want, what does that usually lead to? Jealousy and envy, right? And that's what was happening in the church of Corinth. People were jealous. People were walking around, you know, like let's say I speak in tongues. They were walking around each other like this, and I say, "Joey, do you speak in tongues?" Well, I speak in 10 tongues. And that's what was happening. People were being puffed up about what the gifts that God had given them. It's not about you, right? And here's the other thing, right? Okay, you might have one gift. You might have the gift of mercy. But do you think that in the body of believers in the church, do they think that we need teachers? Do we need pastors? Do we need evangelists? Do we need people who have the heart to serve? Do we have people who are merciful and kind? We do. Here's why. Because oftentimes then we get stuck because we're serving in this capacity. But guess what? The people that we're living, that we're serving, the community that we need to reach, they need all the gifts. Everybody has a part to play here. It's not just like, this is not like one of those things where it's like, oh, this is like the 9 baseball players that are on the diamond or the 11 football players on offense and defense. No, everybody has a role to play. This is not one of these things where you get to be the Monday morning quarterback at church. Does that make sense? Every single one of these is important because guess what? God has equipped you with that talent and ability to put it to use. to build up the kingdom. Amen? So God equips every believer. Now, who gives the gifts? The Holy Spirit does. And every one of them is important. Every one of them is important. And that's the second point for today's message. Every gift that God gives has a purpose and is important to the body of Christ. That's the church. Every gift God gives has purpose and is important to the body of Christ. You guys remember in that first week when I talked about the importance of every single part of the body, was that actually the second portion of 2 Corinthians 12, we talked about what? The hand and the earlobe and the eyebrow. Everybody's and the eyelashes, right? And so every single gift that we have is built to edify the church. As we've given the spirit of wisdom, and also the spirit gives a message of knowledge, the same spirit gives faith and the other gifts of healing and miraculous powers and the ability to distinguish between spirits. Every single one of them is from the Holy Spirit. And now all of it is to equip and do the work that God has called us. Does that make sense? It's not about you. Now, I don't know about you guys, but do you guys feel like when you see this, sometimes you may be sitting there and you say, I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure that I have the gift. I'm not sure that I'm called to any kind of service. Is that, you don't have to raise your hand. God is not a liar. And if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit has given you the gift, talent, and ability. Now, what did we say earlier? Who's the prince of this world? The enemy, right? Satan. And he came to what? To rob, steal, and kill, and destroy. Now, what does he come oftentimes to do? You think that he's just going to say, oh, you have this spiritual gift. By all means, go and exercise it. What does he do? He steals, right? What if God has given you, let's just say this, right? Follow me this. God has called you to serve in your purpose, and he's giving you time and talent and people that need to be reached for his kingdom. But the enemy is whispering, he's the father of what? Of lies. He's the father of lies, and he whispers things in your ears. Right? What does he say? You're not good enough. You don't have time. You'll do it later. You got time. Do it later. It's not a gift. You think that who would listen to you? Look at your life. Does that sound familiar at all? We don't feel equipped. We don't feel worthy sometimes. That is the lie that the enemy tells. Listen, Stephen said it earlier, you are loved by Jesus Christ. You're loved by God. You're equipped and you're called to exercise your gift for his honor, for his glory. Right? So he gives us a purpose, and every part of it is important. Every part of it is important. The other thing is that you need to know this, that none of those that I've listed up there, not one is more important than the other. Not one is more important. Not the gift of prophecy or teaching or healings. They're all given by God. And every single one of them is important. But we need the church to rise up, right? To make sure that we are serving him, that we're loving him, that we're loving the church by putting our gifts and talents and abilities to use, right? Let's go ahead and let's turn our Bibles now to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, because the other two verses, the other two key points are going to come out of that passage. You guys there? Romans 12. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. Here we go. According to the grace given to each of us, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then encourage, give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And finally, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Amen. That's a long passage, but Paul once again is writing again. He's oftentimes using, you see him use that metaphor, oftentimes many body parts, right? One body. Many gifts given by the same Spirit for the edification of the church. So number three, what Paul is telling us there, and that's in verses 1-3, is that serving begins with surrendering to God and flows from humility. Serving begins with surrendering to God and flows from humility. Because he says there in verse 1, he says, offer your body as a living sacrifice. He doesn't say it's like, when if you have time, if it's convenient for you, if you're not tired, give a little bit to the church. Do you see that? No? You guys don't like that message, huh? You're like, I didn't come here to be like, man, what's going on? The Holy Spirit is convenient. If you're being convicted, let it be the Word is convicting you. We're here to just share the good news, yeah? We're here to share the good news. And so it begins by sacrificing. It's going to cost you something. You're going to hear me say this. It's going to cost you time, comfort. You're going to have to get into the weeds a little bit. As I say like this, if you're going to love God and you're going to love the church, it's going to certainly cost you something, yeah? What did it cost Jesus? Cost him everything. This isn't like we don't want to be a church that is like low commitment and just big on words. What is that about? You ever been in a relationship that's big on words but low commitment, low actions? That's not what Jesus is calling us to. In fact, he's calling us to what? Pick up your cross every day and give and die to yourself so you can love me and love other people that way. Because if we're honest, if we're real honest, we're selfish, right? I love me, some me, and I'm always on my mind. But Jesus said, man, you need to rebuke that. It's not about you. It's about God and what God has called to do through you. And so one of the things that we said is offer your body as a living sacrifice, as an act of what? Worship. Not just when you're up here singing, right? When you're washing the windows, when you're in your car worshiping, right? But how you live your life every single day is an act of worship. How you do your job. Like every single person here, whether you like it or not, man, when people say, man, you have the name, you wear the name Christian. One of us literally does have it. He's here somewhere. But it's to be like Christ. That's like a badge of honor. I don't know if you know that. It's like a privilege. Oftentimes we're taught when we're young that our last name, right? Oh, you're a Rodriguez. You're a Silva. You're a whatever it is. The things that we think are big puffed up. It's about us. Nobody matters but us. And this and that. You wear the name of Jesus Christ. Right? And so when we say, listen, you want to bring... We say this joke a lot. It says, like, man, you're bringing shame to the family. my wife knows exactly what that means, right? You bring shame to the family. Because the whole Asian and grade thing, it's just like, she knows where I'm going. But listen, if we're out here professing the name of Jesus Christ, but what? We're always complaining, always whining, never showing up, we're late, we're not disciplined at our work, we're not disciplined at home. Who are we kidding? I'm just being honest. Like I would say, man, I don't want that person representing me. That person represents the prince of darkness better than he represents being the what? He represents Jesus Christ. And so we're called to sacrifice ourselves as an act of worship for Jesus Christ. And then and we can serve. But if we're not surrendered fully to God, and if we're lukewarm in that area, what do you think is going to happen? I would say, like, the enemy has us right where he wants us sometimes. He's like, man, I got this guy in a headlock. He's not going anywhere. But I'm fully surrendered to God, and I'm fully surrendered to my purpose and what he's calling me. And I know what my gifts, talents, and abilities are. I know my spiritual gift. And I'm going out there, and I'm doing what? Putting it to use. Right? Jesus is inviting us to say, listen, I need you to put in some work for the kingdom. Does that make sense? We need to put in some work for the kingdom. Because listen, I'm just being honest with you, man. When you show up and you're doing what God has called you to do, nothing is better. Not because I say, because God says it. That you've been called for a purpose and you've been equipped with these gifts and talents and abilities, but it is not about you. It is about Him. Just like all the times where we say, oh, I'm too tired. I don't want to go. I don't feel like it. But when you show up, I always say, who's there? Jesus is there. He provides. He brings you the blessing. You just have to say, yes, Jesus, I'm going. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to go anyway. That makes sense? So serving begins with surrendering to God, and it flows from humility. Our pride and our selfish nature is what keeps us from exercising our spiritual gift. The fourth point in today's message is that in order to show our love for God and the church, we got to do that by using your gifts faithfully. You show your love for God and the church by using your gifts faithfully. And that's what Paul tells us in verses 4 through 10. He reminds us that if you teach, teach well. If you give, do it generously. And if you show mercy, do it cheerfully. And what he's telling us in essence is that we can't wait for the perfect conditions. Use your gifts where you are. Use the gift that God has given you for His glory. And so for us, we want to make sure that we're serving the gifts. And that's really how we show our appreciation, how we show our thanks. A love for God is by serving, not waiting for the church to serve you, but for you to serve God and for you to show your love to the church by your faithful service. And so, you know, ever I want to show my love and appreciation, I'm not going to do that by sitting back and waiting for somebody to serve me. I serve out of an overflow. And we've said that before. We planted this church and we serve obediently and faithfully out of the overflow of the love that we have for Jesus, for what He has already done for us. And so we have an amazing gift and the ability to be used by God. And that's exciting because oftentimes, you know, when we look in the world, there's a lot of confusion that we don't fit in. They're always kind of wondering what our purpose is. And when we discover our spiritual gifts and what God has called us to do, we start walking in that. I really identify our purpose and what God's plans for our life. And so in order for you to serve faithfully, obviously we want to identify your gift. A lot of times that comes by experimentation through serving. You maybe you're curious about what it looks like to serve in children's ministry, or you're curious about what it looks like to help to teach, or and so there are different opportunities within the church that you can experiment through service and start getting plugged in. And you'll know when God has wired you a certain way with gifts and abilities, that you're going to feel like that's your calling. And the other thing is the Holy Spirit is going to prompt you and show you areas where you're called and where you're gifted to serve. The other thing is talking to people, brothers and sisters that are mature in their walk, people that love you, that care about you, and ask them, you know, where do they see when you're serving, when you're out in the community or out at home, where do they see Jesus most? Where do they see you being most like Jesus when you're serving? And oftentimes that's going to give you a good idea of what your gifts and talents are. So you may have a knack for teaching. You may have a knack for helping. You may have a God-given ability to lead. And you may have a gift of helping people, of serving. You may be a generous giver. And so just, you really have to, I would say, look to see to people that you trust and ask. Oftentimes, they're going to be able to provide a lot of insight into your life. And then obviously, when you're serving, you're going to know as well whether that's something that is in alignment with your gifts. And you're going to know some things give me a lot of energy. For example, I'm a planner. I like to think and I like to teach. And those things energize me. But if I'm doing things that I'm not gifted at, that doesn't mean I can't do them. I'm just not going to do them as effectively, but also they're going to drain me. I'm not going to find them as pleasing as when I'm doing something that God has called me to do. And so you also, another way to kind of check to see where you're gifted is that when you're actually serving and using that gift, is your energy high or is it low? Is it something that brings you down or something that makes you want to keep going? You don't get tired of doing it when you're gifted at that. And so that's another thing. And the last thing I'm going to say is, you know, we opened up the sermon with the superhero theme, and God has given everybody a superpower and a community to serve. And so in the same way, I'm just going to close with this. Your church needs you. Your family needs you. Your community needs you. There's a lot of folks that are lost, that don't know who Jesus is, who have a misunderstanding of who God is, and we need to reach them. Together, we can do an amazing thing by exercising those spiritual gifts. And ultimately, it's to glorify God and to serve Him faithfully and to build up His church. And so, if you are curious or if you have any questions about getting plugged in, come see me, come see any of the church leaders. We're here to serve you, and we want to ultimately love God and love the church the way that He commanded. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for the invitation that you have given us, Lord God, and the scripture and the outline that you've given us today, Lord. How you want us to serve the church faithfully. How you've called and equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit. People in the church, through your giftings, Lord God, they all form one part of the body, Lord. We put our faith in you, Lord Jesus. We all have at least one spiritual gift. And you're calling us to work together in harmony and peace and unity, Lord God, with a lot of grace and mercy towards each other, with our eyes focused on you, Lord Jesus, on the cross, and that you are the author and the perfecter of our faith, that we are not doing this to glorify ourselves, that we do this just to be effective, to do our part, to show, number one, and it's not through works, Lord God, it's an overflow, because we love you, Lord God, and what you are doing. And out of an overflow and abundance of thankfulness, Lord God, we serve you faithfully to exercise those spiritual gifts that you've given us, Lord God. That they all come together, Lord, in perfect unity to build up the church and to edify the church. And Lord Jesus, we know it's important because you died for the church. You love the church, Lord. And so you want us to love you and to love the church in that way. So continue to equip the saints. Continue to help us to, Lord, exercise and identify and work, Lord God, to put these gifts you've given us to good use, Lord God. Because the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Lord, we want to stand in the gap, Lord God, and share the good news of who you are. Continue to watch over our church family. Bless us as we continue on this campaign, this series. And thank you again, Lord Jesus, for your love for us, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.